Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. How do I prioritize my money goals when I want to save for something really big? On this episode of Shauna Shares Community Q&A.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Compton Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, if this is your first time listening, welcome. If you're a Millennial Money pro by now, welcome back to the show. So every Sunday, I'm going to be answering your questions in these special Shauna Shares Community Q&A episodes. Sometimes I'll tackle a single question, and sometimes it might be multiple questions. So just keep tuning in. Today's community cue comes from Robbie. And Robbie says, "Hey there, Shauna. Thanks so much for taking the time to answer my question and for all the great money content. I'm seriously learning so much. I wish I would have had this podcast when I was in college. I'm in my mid-30s now, and I just feel like I'm playing catch-up all the time. I make good money between my partner and me around $300,000 a year. We live in Chicago, but it can be really expensive. We've got some goals we're trying to save for: a wedding, a home purchase, and a big honeymoon trip. The problem is we just save money and then we tend to blow it on things that aren't important or need it for emergencies or just dumb stuff. Can you really, really please help us figure out how to prioritize our money goals, seeing as we want to save for big stuff? I feel like I could use a little of your tough love to get us on the right track. Every article I read just says spend less, but that really isn't that helpful. Thanks again. I hope you never stop this podcast because I would be so lost money-wise." Robbie, first off, thanks so much. Thanks for being a listener. And I guarantee you won't be lost money-wise. I promise you that. But I have no intention of stopping the podcast anytime soon. So it looks like we're just going to be in this relationship. You got a lot going on. Wow, those are some really big goals. Like, those are three of the biggest, right? Getting married, buying a house, and then a big honeymoon trip. And I think what's great is that this is what happens to most of us, is that we save money and then somehow we either end up having to dip into our savings or, I don't know, the money just somehow evaporates. That is kind of human nature when it comes to money. And I think, I don't want to get too far down this, but I think a lot of it is because we live in a very scarcity-driven society. So I feel like society is always telling us we're not going to have enough money and we're never going to save enough money. And so there's something that happens in our mindset where sometimes we're just like, oh, screw it, I'm just going to spend money. And then we come back and we're like, wait a minute, but there are actually these goals that I really want to achieve, and I don't quite know how to balance that all out. So long story short, I'm just trying to tell you, you are perfectly fine. You're more than perfectly fine. You're in the same boat as all the rest of us. Now, with that said, you do have some big goals, and big things take time. So the win is really in tracking towards your goal each and every month, right? And staying committed to that. And sometimes, like I said, you're going to have to pull money out of your savings for, I don't know, emergencies or whatever it might be. Something comes up. But the win is really breaking those big goals down into small bits so you can actually feel like you are progressing towards them. So to be honest, in all fair, all the articles that you're reading, there are only two ways to bear any money situation, right? They are to spend less or earn more. We know this. That is money at its very simplest. But that doesn't really help you figure out how to do that. And I think that's kind of the crux of all of these articles, is particularly when it comes to money, there's so much advice out there. And I find that a lot of the stuff says the same things. And sure, we repeat a lot of the same things on this show, but what I really try to do is give you something actionable to pair with it, because I know it's just not enough to say, well, you just need to spend less. Okay, but how do I do that? And how do I actually achieve these big goals? So I think what's great about your question, Robbie, is yeah, you and your partner, you make a really good income. You make $300,000 a year. Yeah, you live in a big city and it is definitely more expensive. What you're showing is that regardless almost of the income you make, it still is hard sometimes to achieve these goals because life is just really expensive. And that living paycheck to paycheck, that's something that a lot of us, almost all of us do to some extent, whether we want to admit it or not. There just isn't always enough money to go around. So let's tackle the spend less part first. So my first question to you is, do you actually track your cash each month? And I don't mean just create a budget where you put a bunch of numbers on a sheet of paper and you look at it the beginning of the month and then you look at it at the end of the month and maybe it works out or maybe it doesn't. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean really seeing where your money is going, where every penny that's coming out of your bank account, where that is being spent, because that is really eye-opening. And by doing that, you can spot places you want to change and then you can reroute that savings. So for example, let's say that we all overspend on eating out. It's just something that we like to do. And let's say that, I'm just picking numbers here. Let's say that you said, okay, I only want to spend $250 a month eating out. Well, when you get to the end of the month, if you're looking at your numbers and you realize, we really spent $650 eating out this month, or that is maybe our average, we're going over about $400 every month. Well, that's a large chunk of change that we could direct towards another spending goal that we have. Now, when you're tracking your cash, it's not there for you to say, oh, I just need to eliminate eating out altogether. That doesn't work. We know that doesn't work. It doesn't work with anything. The cold turkey approach doesn't work. So the better thing to do is say, okay, maybe $250 is a little unrealistic, maybe we're really going to spend more like $350 or $400 a month. I don't know. Again, I'm just making up these numbers. But you have that decision point to make because you're actually looking at what's happening in your bank account. So it's putting you back in control of your money. It's helping you be really intentional with your money. So the easy way to do this is with an app. There are so many different apps out there. Mint, You Need a Budget, Monarch. You can even, a lot of the bank accounts will auto categorize every expense that you have. There are so many different ways to do this. You can even just simply download your bank statement, get some highlighters, and kind of go to town really categorizing all your expenses. But by doing this, you really have the truth in front of you of where you're spending your money. And then you've got two choices. The first choice is, yeah, I'm okay with how much I'm spending on whatever that might be. Okay, cool. Or the second choice is, I don't know. Maybe I want to try and spend a little less, and I want to take that extra money that I had been spending over the last few months and route it towards one of my goals. So you have a decision point. It puts you back in the driver's seat, which is really where you should be when it comes to your money. So I like to make a spending priority list, right? Where I'm talking about the when, the how much, and in what order of importance. So for you, I would put down all of your big goals or even your small goals as well. It doesn't matter what size of the goal is. And what you're really looking at is, okay, what is my goal? How much is that goal going to cost me? And then how many months or years do I have until I want to reach that goal? So what you're doing is you're backing into it. So if I wanted to save $1,200 this year, very easy round numbers, I would need to save $100 each month, right? So I'm tracking towards that each and every month. I can see the progress happening versus waiting till I get to like November and then freaking out because I haven't saved any money. So that's just a place I don't really want to have you go. I hope that makes sense. So you can take a small goal and break it down like that. You could take a very large goal, like saving for a house down payment or a wedding, and break it down that way. Break it down into monthly savings or even weekly savings. So then when you're looking at your numbers, you're like, oh, okay, I can spot like an extra $50 here that maybe we're spending on something that maybe that should go to the house money fund. So you just redirect the money. You also mentioned dipping into your savings. Again, we all do this. I call it the dip and save method. So you're not actually saving money. It's just kind of for appearances, right? You're moving it from one location to another location and then kind of moving it backwards. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is one of the reasons why if you don't have an emergency fund with 3 to 6 months of your fixed expenses saved, take that as a priority almost. I mean, this is going to be tough. This is really when it comes down to priority, but at least have a couple of months saved before you start saving for these other big goals. Because then if some emergency does come up, you don't have to dip into your goal savings, right? You have this emergency fund there. So that's really what it's there for. And I think it's also okay. This is my personal opinion, and we're all going to feel very different about this. So you might have a totally different opinion, but it's okay to put the pause button on retirement contributions. So if you're in a 401k, you work for a company, you have a 401k, yes, you could lose out on the company match plus any gains for a specific period of time. So I don't normally suggest that you do this for more than a year, but if the difference between you being able to fund one of those goals is to back off maybe even 50% of your 401k contributions, I don't know, maybe it's something to think about. Again, I wouldn't do it for a long term because you're going to lose all of that potential gain, but it's something that is there for you if you want to utilize it, right? There are a million other tricks to save more money, but the real importance first is just to know where your money's going and not say like, well, yeah, of course I know where my money's going. It's easy to say that. To actually look at where your money's going, that is really where I think the power of money starts happening where you can see where your money's going. You're able to make very conscious, very intentional shifts, and you're able to free up money. So I tell everybody that I guarantee you, I can find money in your bank account, even if you feel like there's absolutely no way. There's always, always, always something that is tugging at your bank account that we can maybe switch up just a little bit. I've shared tons of tricks about negotiating your cell phone bill, your credit card interest rate, your internet bill, all those sort of things. And I know it feels like it's a little extra work. Totally, totally get it. Those things do take a little bit of time, but the way I see it is any extra money is just extra money that you can start putting towards these goals. But once you have the real intention behind, I know how much this is going to cost, I know how much that is going to cost, I know when I want to hit that goal, and then I also have a plan for how I'm going to back into the savings, right? I hope that makes sense. So that's really where the power, and I think like the activation of goals really starts to happen. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
Okay, now on to the earning more piece. I know your time is limited. My time is also very limited. But maybe there are some ways you could earn some extra cash that you could put towards your goals. I don't know, just food for thought. We've had guests on the show like Terry Igioma from Trade and Travel who talked about investing to earn enough to pay off your debt. I think it's a really interesting concept. But you could also flip it and turn investing to pay for your big goals. Now, I know there is a lot of risk when it comes to investing, and not everyone wins at this. But if you have a really good teacher who teaches you how to do it and how to do it even when the market is falling apart, that is a really good skill to have for sure. So let's talk about your wedding. This may be really unpopular, but I always ask myself the question of what is needed and what isn't needed, especially when it comes to a really big or expensive money goal. So thinking about what means the most to you and your partner, and then what is maybe just extra stuff that you're adding on top, maybe you don't even really care about it. I know when Jeff and I got married, we lived in a condo complex, and we actually got married in the courtyard of the condo complex. Now, it was very beautiful. It overlooked the water in Long Beach, and it was a great setting. But we did some interesting things. Like, one of our friends was a chef, loved to cook, and so he offered to cater all of our appetizers. We of course, paid him for it, but it was a fraction of the price that we would have paid at, you know, some big hotel venue. We also got, this was really cool, we also got a pizza truck, like a wood fire pizza truck that came and parked outside, and they served wood fire pizzas. And it was actually very, very affordable. And all of the guests were like, this is really cool. I didn't know you could do this. So little things like that. We also didn't really care about having hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures. Sometimes there can be a lot of pictures and that can get really expensive. We just wanted to really slim things down. We got the pictures that we needed, and then we had all of our guests take pictures on their phone and upload them to an app so we could get all of their pictures as well. So long story short, it just ended up saving us a ton of money. So there are always ways to cut costs, but I don't want you to cut costs on things that really matter to you, but thinking about the stuff that maybe doesn't matter. I think especially when it comes to weddings, sometimes we feel like we have to spend money on all this stuff, but really it's like 5 or 6 hours of your life, and the rest of your life, that's the marriage. That's where you're going to want the money to do all of the cool stuff, all right? So have your own priorities, but, you know, also think about, are there places we could scale back and put those extra funds maybe into buying a house or even a honeymoon, which is an experience? So a house is going to be an asset. Honeymoon's going to be an experience. I don't know. This kind of comes down to priorities. Or maybe your family wants to chip in for the wedding. Well, maybe you could use half the money for your wedding and half the money for the down payment of your house. Just some things to think about, right? There are always lots of possibilities. Now for your honeymoon, be creative. Be very creative. You can be very, very creative these days. I mean, could your guests prepay even portions of your honeymoon as a wedding gift? So rather than giving you plates and a toaster and all of that stuff. Maybe you already have that. Maybe you and your partner already have a bunch of stuff. Maybe they could prepay portions of your honeymoon. And that would be an amazing wedding gift. I think so. It's kind of like getting your, having your cake and eating it too. That's the right saying. Even credit card points, they carry a lot of weight. So before my honeymoon, we racked up a ton of points. We would use our credit card to cover our monthly expenses, and then we would pay that off every month. So we use the credit card like a debit card, where whatever we could charge, groceries, gas, eating out, you know, just household expenses, we paid off at the end of the month, so we never had to worry about interest. But we were racking up a lot of points, so we did this for about a year. We had enough points to cover two flights. We went to Paris to cover two flights and to cover a couple of nights at a hotel. So it was all money we were already spending on stuff, our household stuff, throughout the year. But in exchange of using a credit card, we were able to take those points and actually like turn them into cash. So yes, you have to be good with credit cards. 100%, 100,000,000%. But in my book, again, if you're going to be spending money every month to live, why not get the points that you could use towards hotels, airlines, restaurants, experiences, you name it. Just some things to think about.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, EarnIt provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. EarnIt is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the EarnIt app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use EarnIt in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make EarnIt a part of your financial routine and join EarnIt's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about EarnIt, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download EarnIt today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIt app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. EarnIt is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
All right, Robbie, for the house, this is potentially, depending on where you're going to live, if you're staying in Chicago, your down payment could be fairly sizable. And I don't know from your question, don't have any idea of how much you've already saved. I don't know if relatives are going to be chipping in. I have no idea about the particulars. Maybe you could delay it a bit after your wedding just to recover financially. Just a question. Sometimes we stack these big goals up, like one after the next, and we get through the one, and then we're a little worn out. And then we move on to the next, we're definitely worn out. And by the time we get to the third, we're either cursing at our money, or we're just pissed off, or we're anxious, or we're stressed out. So why not separate them just a little bit, if you can, if that makes sense, just so you can recover a little bit. I understand that rent really has a bad rap, but it's not always the enemy. I think especially if you're using that money to save more cash towards a big money goal. So yes, your mortgage might be deductible. I fully understand that. However, all the other housing expenses, who knows what's going to happen? The plumbing goes out or the dishwasher breaks down. So if you're renting, you don't have any of those extra costs. So even if you say, okay, we're going to rent for a year or two after our wedding, but we're going to do that purposely to save all the cash we can so that we have that money to buy the house we want to buy. There are a couple other ways to slice this. Sometimes people actually buy a house, a rental house in an area that they don't live or area that is more affordable and rent that out and then take equity out of that house to buy their dream house combined with their savings, any savings you were able to save for your mortgage. I mean, there are so many different ways to do this, but I just want to make sure that you give yourself some time to recover and breathe because these are big goals and they can be a little bit stressful. So think about things like looking at low down payment options. We typically always think that you need 20% down. And I understand 20% down is absolutely the magic number where you don't have private mortgage insurance. Yep, 100%. But maybe it might make sense to put a smaller down payment down to have more cash available. Either you need to fix up the house or you just want to have that nice safety pad. Another thing to think about. And we have had so many guests on the pod lately talking about lower priced first homes, how to fix up your first home, then how to sell it maybe after a couple years for a profit to buy your dream house or rent out a room to pay for a portion of your mortgage. So go back in the library of episodes. There are so many different episodes on how to do this buying home thing in a more cost-effective way. And there are so many ways to slice real estate and building wealth. So this was a great question, Robbie. I'm so glad that you sent it in because I know myself that sometimes I've had some really big money goals and it feels like I'm just never making any progress towards them. And I think the biggest takeaway is just to remember you've got to know where your money's going. That is the secret unlock key to everything else. Because once you know where your money's going, that puts you in the driver's seat. And then you get to make conscious decisions about, am I okay spending my money on this? Or am I okay spending this much money on this? Or do I maybe want to try it a different way? Do I maybe want to reduce it? You just have a ton of options. But when you're not looking at your money and money is just kind of flowing in and flowing out, you can't make any of those on the fly changes. And so it's really hard to change your habits and your behaviors. If you're somebody who loves to eat out and your thought is, if I don't have Uber Eats 6 nights a week, then I'm not going to be a happy person. Okay, great. Know that ahead of time, right? Is there some way to work around your money so that you can figure out how you can still track towards your goals? So thank you so much for sending in the question, Robbie. Do me a favor, if you enjoyed this episode, share it. Let this episode open up a conversation with someone in your life. The more you can talk about money, the more you can change the narrative of money from being scary and stressful to simply being a tool to help you live the life you want to live. And if you have a question that you want me to answer in Shauna Shares, head right over to the link in the show notes. You can put in your question. You can even put in that you want to remain anonymous because I would love to answer your question and we can all learn from these questions. So thanks so much for being here. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.
Hey, you.
Yes, you.
Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com, where you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.